so began year two. Hello, everybody. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the first episode of year two of CAPE, the mighty CAPE. Heretofore referred to as the... Okay, no, it won't be. Forget it. It sounds silly. But episode 27, kicking off the second year of the show, my little solo podcast here. Thank you very much for listening. Please follow the show on Twitter at Cape Pod. Like the show on Facebook, Chris Abalo's Podcast Experiment. Visit chrisabalo.com. I've been writing blogs. There are a few little interesting bits and pieces up there. So check out the homepage. And make sure you're subscribing and listening to the only podcast that matters as well. The show that started it all a big 3.5 years ago. Still going strong. Soak that in and enjoy it, because it is well worth your time. So, yeah, here we are. First episode of the second year of this show. And how am I spending the day? How am I celebrating? I am moving today. Yes, this show is recorded slightly in advance due to some circumstances we'll get to shortly. But yes, I am moving to a new apartment today, which means the show will have been recorded now. This show will have been recorded in 3 different locations. No, 4, now that I think of it. 3 in California. The first episode was done at an extended stay apartment in Burbank, and then the other shows were done at my apartment deeper into the valley, including this one. The next episode will be recorded at my new apartment, which is now in Burbank once again. I moved back to Burbank. And episode 22 from a few months back was recorded at my parents' house when I sat and talked to Dan Hempel. That was recorded over the holidays. So, yeah, 4 different locations, which is funny because I think in the 3.5 years, the only podcast that matters has been going, I think we've recorded in 4 locations total. And now here I am. I'm going to be 28 episodes in, and the show will have been recorded in 4 different locations. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Only podcast that matters, started in Andrew's apartment, moved to Ryan's parents' house, then moved to Ryan's house when he got one, and a handful of episodes were recorded at my parents' house. So, look at that. I've beaten the record for various recording locations. It's not much of a record to be beaten, not something to be especially proud of. Okay, now there's a little bit to get into on this episode, to a few things to fill you in on. Let's go back in time a little bit. Speaking of the only podcast that matters, we have talked about this a few times on the show. As you may be aware, as a fan of podcasting, which... odds are favorable that you are a fan of podcasting if you found this little show. But Guinness World Record holder Adam Carolla is being sued by a company called Personal Audio, which is essentially a patent troll. And they're claiming Adam's and all podcasts essentially use this particular line of code that they own a patent to, which has something to do with the ability to distribute digital files to form a playlist or something like that. It's very, very vague technical jargon, or maybe it's just that I don't understand it, but essentially what this company's doing and what they've done before by mounting suits against larger companies like Apple is they're looking for a settlement. They make money enforcing these patents. They didn't create anything. They didn't invent something. They just bought up this patent when it became available, and now they sue people for exorbitant amounts of money, hoping to get a smaller but still sizable settlement out of court so that they'll be left alone. Like, a lot of companies don't want to go because patent litigation is very expensive and is very lengthy, from what I understand anyway. And a lot of companies just don't want to deal with it, especially a company like Apple, which has innovations to make, and their time is better spent producing products and putting time and energy into products and not spent in a courtroom fighting over something that they're probably isn't being utilized by anybody else. But anyway, since Adam is the big cheese of podcasting, it made sense that this company went after him. So, as a way to rally the podcasting community, in part to hopefully scare off this company, to show how supportive the podcasting community is, and also as a way to help us put a stake into this medium, he has mounted a Fund Anything crowdsourcing campaign where the money goes toward the Legal Defense Fund, which I highly suggest you donate to. As a fan of podcasts, which I assume you are, you should absolutely donate. Go to fundanything.com/patent troll. And you can see Adam's video up there. You can see some more details about this case and what exactly is going on. And as with any crowdfunding campaign, there are different rewards. There are different levels of rewards you can get in on, things you get for donating, little perks and what have you. So it's well worth it to donate, because losing this case would absolutely change the medium of podcasting. And it would just be bad. And we love the independence of podcasting, all of us, whether you're on this side of the mic or you listen to shows. Everybody loves the independence of podcasting. Everybody's happy with the way it exists now. And this, and any litigation or certainly any success in a case like this, it then becomes a slippery slope where not only will podcasts change because of the way things exist in the digital realm, but it's only a matter of time before YouTube and Netflix and all these other companies that work in the digital realm that produce and distribute content digitally, it's only a matter of time before these patents are retroactively fitted to apply to these other big companies, much bigger companies than Adam Franke, all due respect, but you know, YouTube, he's not pulling down YouTube money or Netflix money. So anyway, as part of this campaign, one of the things Adam was doing to raise money was have a big event down at the Performing Arts Center in Redondo Beach, California, which I absolutely wanted to go to anyway, but there was a program that was available through a donation, which included a meet and greet. You could hang out and talk to and meet the guests of the show, which aside from Adam was going to include, of course, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Mark Maron, who hosts WTF, Andy Summers from The Police was going to be there to play a few songs. And I thought, oh man, it's really cool. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel, Kevin and Bean, who were big on K-Rock out here in Los Angeles, and that's the show where Adam essentially got his start. All these people are going to be there, and I thought, man, to be able to chat with these people and just meet and talk to them, in part because they all do, well, Kevin and Bean do terrestrial radio, but still, just all these people do podcasts, all these people who I listen to on a regular basis, to get to meet them, oh, that would be great. So I need to get in on this. So thankfully, when it comes to being supportive of me doing podcasting and what I do, my parents did put in some money, and my Uncle George, who has been very supportive and has been listening to The Only Podcast That Matters for quite a while. I should note, my parents have not listened to The Only Podcast That Matters at all. I've kind of let them know that it's a bit too in your face for them and loud and obnoxious and probably just wouldn't be their thing. So they just kind of let that be. And they take me at my word in that it's probably not for them, which is fine. It doesn't have to be. It's not for everybody. But they put in money for me to pull together in addition to my donation, so I was able to purchase this VIP package, as it were, where I get, of course, a ticket to the show, and I get to hang out backstage and meet everybody and chat and take photos, get autographs, whatever it is that you want to do with everybody. And I thought, oh, this is great, because I would love to meet these people, because I like them all. I really do. I'm a fan of everybody who's involved in this, so I thought, this is going to be great. This is going to be really, really cool. Now, it kind of worked out because I had to go get my car registration taken care of. So I decided that last Thursday, which is March 27th, I would make my appointment during the day to get my car registration done, and then I can go to Redondo Beach at night, because I've never been to Redondo Beach. I've been to Manhattan Beach and the area, but I've never gone specifically to this little pocket known as Redondo Beach, and I've never been to the Performing Arts Center. Even when I went to Manhattan Beach, it was years ago. So I thought, well, I want to give myself enough time. And for the sake of getting regional for a moment here, sorry, everybody, but if you live in Los Angeles or have driven in around through Los Angeles, if you've ever had to take the 405 in any capacity, you know how ridiculously congested it gets. And with this show starting at 8 o'clock, I thought, I definitely want to get ahead of the traffic. So I'd rather leave way early, get there way early, and not have to worry about it. Because I'm sure there are other routes I could have taken other than the 405, but I thought, I'm just going to take the most straightforward way down there because I don't want to miss this event. I want to be there in plenty of time. I want to be able to enjoy the night because it's going to be great. And earlier I got up in the morning because I made an appointment to get my registration done at the DMV, which I was driving out to deeper into the valley to Thousand Oaks, to that DMV. Why was I going so far, you may be asking, if you're familiar with this particular area of the San Fernando Valley? Well, I think I talked about this maybe last summer when I got to get my license done, to give you a brief version of why I went to Thousand Oaks, and a recommendation if you're in this particular area. I went to the Glendale DMV to get my license changed over last year to a California license. My New Jersey license was expiring, so decided to get a California license. Again, a short version is I was there for 5 hours, and I'd yet to even be called to the window to hand over my paperwork and then to ask to be seated again, to then get up and get my picture taken and then have to be seated again, and then finally get my license when it's done. I was there, it was between 4 to 5 hours, and I just got up and left because I thought, I can't. I lost all my patience. I'd finished my magazine. My cell phone battery was running low, and I thought, screw this. I'm getting out of here. And I'd been to Thousand Oaks a couple of times before. Never did the DMV, but I thought, it's got to be better than this. So I made an appointment. Sure enough, I was in and out in less than an hour. And that included having to take a written test, because when you apply for your California driver's license within, I forget, X amount of time, even though I'd had one when I was going to school out here in 2006, I still needed to take a written test. But that included taking time to take the written test and have it graded and everything else and get the actual license done. I was still in and out in less than an hour in Thousand Oaks because everything was run way better, way more efficiently, and I was a fan from that. So I thought, well, the registration should be a piece of cake. So that was it. Made my appointment, went there in the morning, figured get back in the afternoon, have some time to relax, make sure my camera was nice and charged, had some space in my memory card for all the photos I was going to be taking, and this was going to be great. So yeah, registration went off without a hitch, had a nice lunch, drove back to my apartment, and did the usual things I do before taking any kind of lengthy drive. Of course, checked my tire pressure, make sure everything was okay, got some gas, grabbed a beverage for the road, and left at 4:30. Now, once again, this starts at 8. But I wanted to be there in plenty of time. I did not want to be late. I didn't know what the process was when I got there. There wasn't really any kind of confirmation when it came to the time frame for the meet and greet, the hanging out backstage, whatever it was going to be. There was nothing specific sent out to those of us who bought this or donated at such a level that you then got this VIP access. So I thought, okay, let me get there early because I want to be there in plenty of time. I don't want to miss a thing. And the drive was as expected. Took a little while. I think without traffic, it still takes 45 minutes. And with the traveling guideline I have when it comes to driving anywhere in California, double the amount of time Google says it takes to get there. So took about an hour and a half. And pretty painlessly, aside from stop-and-go traffic as expected, arrived in Redondo Beach at 6 o'clock, 2 hours before the show. I thought, this is great. I have plenty of time. I can relax. I'm going to grab some dinner because I didn't know how late. I knew the show was going to run for a while. Didn't know exactly. And then figured hanging out afterwards, who knows. I didn't expect to be fed, certainly. That would be, I think, expecting a little too much. There wasn't any mention of catering or food or snacks will be provided, aperitifs, anything like that. So I thought, well, let me eat. So I have a nice full belly and I'll be nice and bloated for the photos I'm going to take with everybody when I meet them. I'm half joking. So I pull out my GPS to see where there is to eat in the area. And look at that, about 2.5 miles away from the art center, there's a Whole Foods. Okay, cool. I'll go. I'll have a salad. I'll have something that's going to keep me full for a while, something that isn't crap rather than going through a drive-thru. Let me go. I'll eat something good and I'll cool out before it's time to head back and go to the show. Seemed like a good plan, right? So I get over to the plaza, which was just 2 to 3 miles up the road in this nice plaza, which looked brand new. And was right next to a mall. So I thought, oh, if anything, if I eat and have some time, you know, I figure I get back to the venue around 7:30. I thought, well, if I eat, I'm done. Maybe I'll go walk around the mall for like 45 minutes, an hour, just to kill some time and then head back to the venue and get there for all the action, for everything that's going to happen. This is going to be great. It's going to be a fun night. So as I'm circling the plaza to just seeing kind of what's on the outside and going around to the side where Whole Foods is, all of a sudden, before I knew it, and it literally shook me in a way that only something like this can, my driver's side front tire blew out and steered me into a curb. Now, thankfully, there's nobody behind me to crash into me. Thankfully, I was in the left lane, so I didn't steer into anybody. Jeez, it could have been way worse in that I could have careened into a van loaded with kids or something, or a school bus. Well, okay, there wouldn't be a school bus out at that hour, probably. But still, there was nobody was harmed. So if something like this had to happen, I'm glad that it happened the way it did. But I was horrified. as everybody is when something like this happens. I was completely like, no, not now. No, this can't be it. This can't be happening right now. No, it'd be different if I blew out a tire near the venue, but now I'm a few miles away. What the hell am I going to do? And I thought, okay, I'll put the donut on. Great. But when I got out and actually looked at the damage, the wheel was a bit bent. And I was able to get three of the bolts or nuts or whatever they are. I know nothing about cars. So whatever's holding the wheel on, I was trying to remove those and was able to successfully remove three. But the fourth one, I was able to twist a little bit, but not quite so much. And kept trying and trying by hand and then by kind of kicking the wrench to loosen it. And no luck. In fact, it got to the point where I was stripping the bolt itself. That was that wouldn't move. The bolt that refused to move, which sounds like a book someone should read in kindergarten, or at least now. Maybe that should be written for driver's ed. I'm going to work on that. So now I've put it out there. Damn. I should have saved that. I guess I could edit this out. Ah, screw it. Yeah, the bolt that wouldn't move. Okay, it's not that great an idea, but regardless, the bolt wouldn't move, and it was just stripping, and I couldn't get the thing off. And immediately I'm frustrated because now, first of all, I haven't eaten yet. And I get cranky when I haven't eaten. I wasn't like ravenous, but I was still like, I want time to eat. And my main concern was, how the hell am I going to get back to the venue? This is crazy. Why does this have to happen tonight? The night when something's planned, when I'm happy to donate to the cause, but like I'm getting a really cool perk for having donated this money, especially because it's towards something I believe in and to people I admire. And I'm a big fan of Adam's. So I thought, you know, wow, I finally get to meet him. This will be great. Why does this have to happen now? I thought, okay, what can I do? This car is not getting out of here. I have to call a tow truck. So, had to call a tow truck because my plan was, let me get towed to the venue, and then after everything's done, I will figure out what I'm going to do. Maybe I will have my sister drive down to Redondo Beach and pick me up, and I'll leave my car here, but I'd be a little leery of leaving my car there overnight in an area I'm not familiar with. So, I didn't know. I just thought, let me get to the venue. I don't want to miss anything. So, I used my phone to search for a towing company that was nearby, got through to them, and they said it'd be about 20 minutes. So at this point, it's about 7 o'clock because I'd spent about an hour trying to fix the tire on my own to no avail. So he said about 20 minutes. I thought, okay, leave your car here. It was at the end of the parking lot where Whole Foods was. So I thought, okay, leave your car here, walk over to Whole Foods, eat something, get that sorted out, and come back. Fortunately, the car was able to lock. That still worked. So I was able to lock the car so I didn't have to worry about anything. I still tucked away all my stuff, you know, the face of my car stereo and all that stuff was still tucked it away. But I thought, okay, this thing isn't going anywhere and anybody who sees it is going to be able to steer around it. It's not, it's in such a place where you can't miss it. And I'll leave my hazards flashing and that'll be that. By the way, during this near hour, I was trying to remove the tire. I can't tell you how many different Plaza Security SUVs rolled past me and didn't stop, ask if I needed any help, ask what the problem was. Nothing. Didn't stop to say a word. So I guess they're not there to actually help anybody who's having any problems. Maybe they're just there to make sure nobody's double parking or I don't know what kind of chaos they're trying to prevent, but nobody stopped to ask for anything. Even though I'm sitting with my car disabled in their plaza, nobody stopped to say a word. But anyway, I went over to the Whole Foods, grabbed a little bit of food, ate kind of quickly, hurriedly, because I figured, well, I can eat, and then I can get back to my car in enough time. It's a short walk back to the car, and I'll be there when the tow truck arrives. 20 minutes passes. I'm waiting by the car. Nothing. Waiting by the car. Nothing. Decide to call the company, because now it's 7:45. This thing's supposed to start in 15 minutes, and maybe I should have been there already, but I don't know, because I'm not there. Call the towing company. He's on his way. Okay. I do need to get somewhere. I just need to be towed up the street to the Performing Arts Center, and they knew where it was. So I was like, oh, okay, great. The tow truck arrives at 8:15. Now, apparently, and it's not their fault. Well, hey, what can we do? Apparently, I was in El Segundo, which I only know that town from the jokes being made about El Segundo, I guess, being a questionable neighborhood in Sanford and Son, at least in the 70s, I guess it was. But it was actually quite nice. Like I said, this plaza was pretty fancy and looked pretty new. Sure enough, was new from what the driver told me. But the address was Sepulveda Boulevard. And between this towing company's office and Whole Foods where I was, there were two other Whole Foods with the address on Sepulveda Boulevard. So he stopped at those first and was circling around looking for me. I don't know why he didn't call, but he called finally when he was closing in on this one. And I said, no, I'm the one. It's right here. It's in a plaza with. And I was naming different like restaurants and stores that were in the same plaza. I said, I see a mall up the street. I don't know if that narrows it down. But anyway, he gets there. He hooks up the car. We end up leaving the plaza at 8:30. And I say, I just need you to drive me around to the art center. And get to the art center, and naturally, because the event has been going on for over a half hour at this point, the parking lot's full. So we have to drive further up past the parking lot to this, the parking lot for like this baseball field, which is kind of adjacent to the art center, and park. He basically has to let the car off kind of out of the way, because I said, well, I don't want to be in the middle of other cars. I don't want to block anybody else. I don't know when I'm getting out of here, so can you park me kind of in the corner on the curb? Because later I'm going to have to figure out what I'm doing. He said, sure. Released the car, paid the guy in cash, which I knew how much it was going to cost. They told me over the phone. So when I went through Whole Foods, I was able to get cash back, thankfully, to be able to pay for the tow in cash. And I figured, well, I'll have to call someone else to tow me home when I leave. Somebody who is authorized through my car insurance provider, which I didn't want to have to deal with it. I just wanted to get to the show. I wanted to get to the venue and see the show and be involved in whatever was going on. By the time I walked over to the venue and got my wristband and got in, it was 9 o'clock. It was just before 9 o'clock, actually, and they were about to take a break. And Adam and Dr. Drew were on stage chit-chatting about all sorts of stuff. And yeah, then they took like a 10, 15 minute break. Now on the break, I called my sister to say, hey, so here's the story. I'm stuck down here. Here's what happened. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to get towed home. And I'm going to need you to pick me up from the place where I actually got my tires, because I thought, well, the tire blew out. Let me go there and I'll just have them fix it in the morning. It'll be at their shop and I can get there when they open at 7:30 the following morning. And hopefully they can sort this thing out and I can get back to leading my life as it was circa 6 p.m. on Thursday. So, that, you know, she was happy I was okay. And, you know, it was the same as me. Was grateful that nobody was hurt and that I wasn't hurt either. Obviously, and I'm glad that I didn't steer into anybody or that there wasn't anybody behind me to rear-end me and mess up their car. At least if something had happened to my car, I'm glad it just happened to my car. As sucky as these circumstances are, I'm glad nobody else was involved. So it's time for the show to go back in. Andy Summers comes out with the guy who was in his new band, and they play about 3 songs. And then Adam comes out with Mark Maron and Doug Benson. They chat for a little while, and then the show was over at 10 o'clock, so I ended up seeing about half the show. I didn't know how long the thing was going to run. Ended up running for about 2 hours in total, and I thought, great, I missed Jimmy Kimmel. I missed Kevin and Bean. I was able to see Dr. Drew. Okay, well, hopefully I'll get to meet everybody backstage. And they said, once everything was wrapped up, they said, anybody who has the VIP meet and greet access, hang out here, and we'll call you up to the stage. And I thought, okay, I figured there might be a green room or something where they'd let us in, but no, that wasn't the case. And so after a few minutes, they bring us all up on stage. The curtain's closed, and of course, guys are cleaning up and breaking down the sound system and whatnot. And they say, okay, just line up. Adam's going to be out here shortly. And I thought, I hope that means Adam and everybody else. Sure enough, just Adam came out, and he had copies of his most recent book, Not Taco Bell Material, which he signed for us, and he gave everybody a bottle of his signature beverage, Mangria, which I picked the red. You had a choice between red or white. I picked the red just because I figured, well, I'll try the red. Why not? And for whatever reason, my flash wasn't working, so I got 2 very blurry pictures with him, and I mentioned to him while he was signing my stuff and while we were taking the photo, hey, I'm glad I was able to make it, but a tire blowout couldn't even keep me away. He said, what happened? I said, well, my driver's side tire blew out up the street, had to get towed here, blah, blah, blah. And he made a crack to the guy taking the photos. He said, oh, well, Mike will drive you home. Oh, he said, where do you live? I said, Burbank. He said, oh, Mike will drive you home. But I didn't know if he was joking or not, because I thought, oh, maybe that's cool. Maybe he has somebody who has like a pickup or something who can drag my car back to Burbank, because, I mean, he lives in the Glendale-ish area, so it's not too far. Okay, cool. Maybe something's going to happen. So while he worked his way through the line, I kind of lingered backstage, but people got their stuff and they were leaving. So I thought, okay, I was kind of hanging around. No one was telling me to leave or, sir, the exit's this way. There was none of that. So when everybody was done, I said to the guy, Mike, who was taking the photos, you know, was he serious about you taking me home? He was like, oh, no, man, I don't have anything to hook up your car to or anything. He said, I don't have a way to get you home. He was just kidding. I was like, oh, okay. Because he said it kind of seriously, and I didn't know, but I figured, well, it's worth hanging out and taking a shot. But at that point, Adam came over to me and said, oh, what is it? What exactly happened? And I kind of gave him a short version of it because I only had a few, maybe 10, 15 seconds while he was signing my stuff and the photos were being snapped to explain to him. So I gave him the full version of what happened. And he says to one of his guys, hey, drive him back to his car and see if you can get that last nut off of the wheel and change his tire for him real quick. And I said, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. And so this one guy, we got in his car, we drove to the parking lot, went to my car, and as soon as we pulled around, he saw the angle of my wheel, and he said, oh, man, no, something's definitely wrong. It's not just your tire. And he kind of comes over and takes a look at it. He's got his headlights pointed at the wheel, and he's checking the thing out. He said, yeah, something's bent. This nut's not going to come off. You know, I'm really sorry, man. I'd help you if I could. And I said, no, that's okay. I appreciate you driving me back, and please thank Adam for me. You know, it's just, what can you do? You know, this kind of thing happens. And that was that. So he took off. I got on the phone with my insurance company and started going through the process of roadside assistance. I need to get towed. Sure enough, it meant paying $100. And then they would pay the rest. My insurance company paid the rest of the towing fee. And they would tow me back to North Hollywood, which is where the repair shop was, where I was going to get the car fixed the next day. And the wait time wasn't bad for the tow truck to show up. It was about 40 minutes, which was fine. I called my sister and kept her up to speed on what was going on and just let her know, hey, I'm getting towed back, and can you meet me over there? I'll text you when we're close, and you could drive me home. Just please drive back in the morning early, and I'll hang out there, and we'll see what happens. And all this, by the way, when I was supposed to be prepping for a move. I mean, I was supposed to be at work the following day, but I thought, this is just what I need, man. I'm moving in a few days. And everything just had to happen. I thought, who knows how much it's going to cost for me to get repaired. And my mistake, I'd actually gotten the rear tires done the previous year at this location, not the front tires. So there was no coverage on the front tires. The result was the left control arm was bent, because I guess the way I struck the curb when the tire went out, hit it at an angle where the thing just bent. So $900+ later, my car was working again, and it was back to real life. And you know what? It's one of those things that kind of, it's one of those strange feelings that it's crazy how disabled you feel when your car doesn't work. Just how, maybe disabled is the wrong word, but just how that independence is gone. It's just, it's almost scary how dependent we are. I mean, yeah, it's part of most people's lives. Plenty of people have cars and rely on them for transportation to work and wherever the hell else you need to go. But it's crazy how just insanely stuck and stranded you feel when you don't have that independence, when you're not able to just come and go as you please. It's, man. And you know what? To be honest, my car is a beast. Overall, my car has had so much happen to it. Now, the car is teetering on 10 years old, which is crazy to me, because I remember way back when I was in high school, reading in a Metal Edge magazine an interview with the late Peter Steele from Typo Negative. I don't know. This is one of those random things that somehow stuck in my memory. But he was talking about how he didn't really live much of a rock star lifestyle, still lived in Brooklyn and still driving the same car for 9 years. And as a teenager who probably didn't have a car yet, I'm sure my dad dropped me at Barnes & Noble for me to hang out and to read guitar magazines and eat overpriced pastries. I didn't have perspective on that, but it being, you know, 16 maybe, I thought, wow, 9 years to have a car, that seems like a really long time. Fast forward, and I will have had my car for 10 years this July. But the car has had a bunch of incidental things happen to it. It's been hit twice while parked. It was in a fairly serious crash 3 years ago in January of 2011. I was actually on my way to Andrew's apartment to record an episode of The Only Podcast That Matters. I don't think we talked about it on the show. Maybe we did when we recapped the first year in the first annual cast show. The short version of that was, it was the day after a snow storm, so the roads were still a little slick. It was cold, so maybe a little icy. I was in the right lane on a two-lane highway. There's a car in the left lane a little bit of a distance up from me. And this jackass decided to make a right turn from the left lane, essentially cutting me off. And I had to slam on my brakes and I slid into a telephone pole because it was either hit his car or steer towards something else. And I was able to steer toward the telephone pole so I could stop. And yeah, that was that. And then several weeks later, the car was working again. But man, my car is a beast. It's one of the things that made me so sad when Saturn went belly up after the economic downfall of 2008 and a bunch of car companies went out of business, because this car, with the exception of a few little air conditioning repairs that have had to be done, this car has been great. It owes me nothing. If it were to drop dead tomorrow, which I certainly hope it doesn't, especially having just spent $900 on fixing it, please continue working. It just keeps going, and it makes me sad for the fact that I won't be getting a Saturn for my next car. But yeah, even having it for 10 years, it's crazy to think I've had a car that long. But hey, when you spend 5 years paying for something, you don't want to sign up for another monthly payment as soon as that's done, because you finally have a reprieve from the monthly payment cycle. And hey, you've decreased your monthly output by one bill, which is great. So I've ended up having the car for 10 years as a result. But I love the car. The car's been great to me. And the fact that stuff like this keeps happening to it is crazy. But my little car has been good to me. And of course, now is functioning perfectly as it should, and is being utilized for a couple of trips to move into my new apartment today as this show goes up, possibly as you're listening to it. The event, I ended up enjoying it over the weekend because Adam recorded the show for a podcast to be downloaded by people who contributed to the Legal Defense Fund. So I was able to listen to the first hour of the show, and I could hear exactly what I missed. Kevin and Bean made an appearance and were there for a few minutes. Jimmy Kimmel essentially Skyped in, so he was never in the venue. And Dr. Drew came up for maybe a little over 20 minutes, and they chatted for a bit, and I believe they took some questions. It's all kind of a blur now because of with moving. I just kind of had it in my ears while I was packing up my apartment. But I got to tell you, I was kind of bummed because the description for the package was you're going to meet and take pictures with these people, you know, everyone who was going to be participating in the event. And I thought, oh, this is going to be cool. And it ended up being just Adam. Now, Adam was great, and he was an incredible gentleman by even having his guy drive me back to my car and look at the car and offer to change the tire. I mean, that was huge. That scores a lot of points with me, because in my limited time working in show business, there are plenty of people who would have said, oh, it sucks to be you, and that would have been that, if they even acknowledged you in the first place. So that scores serious points with me. The fact that he actually asked what happened, and being something of a car guy, thought he knew what needed to be done, which is what I thought needed to be done, and sent his guy over to try helping me out, which, hey, I really, really appreciated that. But I was a little bit let down that there weren't other people there to meet. But I'm glad he gave us the bottle of booze. I'm glad he gave us the book. And he hung out and took photos and signed stuff for everyone, which he always does anyway. So, Adam, you are a true gentleman. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate your help. And I'm so glad my car is fixed. Finally, my car is fixed. Took a whole day to sit around and wait. But you know what? It's working fine again, and I'm moving into a new apartment, and this is just a small hiccup and a case of bad timing, and as I said a couple times already, I'm glad nobody was hurt. That's the most important thing in all of this. I'm down some money, and I was down some time, but that's okay. It could have been way worse than how it was, and I ended up getting to hear the show that I missed anyway, at least some of it, so there's that. So that's it, folks. You've now heard the saga of March 27th, 2014, Chris Abalo's tale of woe for that evening. But please kick in. If you enjoy podcasts, which I assume you do since you found me, kick in and support the Legal Defense Fund for fighting the patent trolls, because we don't want podcasting to change. It's great the way it is, and we don't need someone coming in and trying to extort money from it just because they think they can. They think they found a legal loophole which allows them to exploit someone else's work for their financial gain, and it's wrong. So once again, go to fundanything.com/patent troll and donate something. Adam said there are going to be more rewards coming through that are going to get posted, so there'll be plenty of stuff for you to get in addition to donating to support a cause which I believe in. I certainly hope you believe in it as well. And that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening to this saga, this somewhat drawn out story of my Redondo Beach tire blowout. And of course, she'll be back in 2 weeks. Every other Monday, it carries on. Year two will march forward. And as I said at the top of the show, follow the show at Cape Pod. You can email the show at capethepodcast@gmail.com. Like the show on Facebook. Give the show 5 stars on iTunes. Write a review. Do the same for the only podcast that matters. And keep listening. I do thank you for listening. Thank you again to Adam Carolla. Until next time, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.